When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.
Ciao, Penguin Radio listeners. This is DJ Amore, and welcome to another exciting show on the Travel Diaries. I'm here in the studio every Wednesday, live from 5 to 6 p.m. Each week on my show, I discuss my trips through Europe and tell stories of my experience traveling as a study abroad student last semester, as well as some tips and fun facts for those of you who want to travel the world. Last week on my show, I concluded my two-part experience during my spring break trip last semester. I went to Barcelona, Spain for 4 days, had a slight travel delay in the middle, but was then able to get back on schedule and spend the last 6 days in Naples and Rome, Italy for Easter. It was one of my most memorable experiences and so life-changing. If you missed those shows and would like to hear about it, you can check them out on radio.dominican.edu on my Travel Diaries page. For today's show, I'm going to be traveling back to my unbelievable trips to Paris, France, the city of love. To hear my reminiscence on my second time in Paris and to help me with my reminisce of my second time in Paris, I'm going to bring on my friend and travel buddy Mariah, who also spent last semester abroad. But before I have her speak with me, let me just tell you about my first experience in Paris. So I hadn't actually decided when I was going to go to Paris. I had other places I wanted to go to more, but it was definitely on the list. And one day in one of my classes, I had a friend of mine who invited me to go with her and her roommate. They were going for her birthday, her 21st birthday, and we had previously talked in class before about how I really, really wanted to go to Disneyland in Paris. It was an ambition of mine when I went to Paris, and I was really trying to make it happen, and then she told me that she was planning on going for her birthday, and it was really exciting, and that day in class, I said I'd go a week from then, and her and I bought the tickets to go to Disneyland Paris in class, also the plane tickets to get there from Milan, and the hostel. It was a pretty productive day planning a trip to Paris and not so much paying attention in class. So shout out to Maddie. I had a great time on your birthday in Paris at Disneyland. And also to Allison, her other friend that came with us. I had a great time with you ladies, and I miss you a bunch. So after buying our tickets and our hostel and making a plan about when we're going to meet up when we got there, I was all kind of just waiting around until the day I got to leave. It was one of my shorter trips. I was only there for, 2.5 days. And I was totally fine with that because I didn't plan it. Like I knew I'd want to go to Paris. I just wasn't sure when. And because I hadn't planned it yet, I just kind of decided to jump on that opportunity and go with them. But I also knew after going for that first time that I would want to go back again for sure, because I didn't have time to fit in everything. We spent a whole day in Disneyland Paris, and it was so much fun. But when I got to Paris, that first day, it was like the middle of the afternoon when I got there, it took me 2 hours walking around after I got off the metro to find my hostel. I don't know why it took so long. I even asked people for directions. I had my phone, like my GPS, but I just kept going in circles around the Louvre. Nonetheless, I had no idea that was the Louvre because it didn't look the right way to me. Like, the part that I knew about the Louvre was on the inside, and then the outside was just, like, a really pretty building. No idea. I was walking around the Louvre for, like, an hour. And then another hour spent walking up and down streets of, like, different parts of where I was in that area of, like, different, like, cafes and restaurants and the other apartment buildings, looking for this, like, really small hole-in-the-wall kind of hostel that was just, like, up straight. Like, it was, like, really narrow. Couldn't find it for forever. I'm not even sure how I eventually did. If you've listened to my shows before, I've mentioned that I have traveled alone to a lot of places when I was in Europe. This, again, was one of those times I went by myself because I couldn't get the same flight time as my friends, Maddie and Allison. But it's okay. I had already done it before going to Barcelona, so I wasn't, like, nervous about it. It just it's a little harder traveling alone when, like, you have to figure everything yourself. So another recommendation I have with that is try and go with friends. Like, try and go with family. It will make your life probably much easier. At the same time, I'm sure you might get tired of one another, but you're in, like, different parts of Europe. Like, go have fun. And again, it would probably help to have someone with you to figure out where you're going, because it took me forever to find my hostel. But once I did, I unpacked my stuff, and then I had to wait 5 hours for my friends to get there because they didn't come till that night. But it's okay. I was in Paris. So I went and walked around some of the canals. I saw, like, a bunch of locks everywhere. For those of you who know about the Love Lock Bridge, which unfortunately isn't actually there anymore, but people, like, took over other places, so there's just locks everywhere you go. Walking up and down the streets of Paris, which was pretty fun. And I was really, really excited because I was going to wait to go see the Eiffel Tower with my friends. And I did. Like, I didn't actually go up close to it when I got there, but I did see it from a distance that night as it was lit up. And that was just something, like, I'll never forget, just seeing it from that far away distance and how pretty it was. And it's, like, always going to be, like, a memory in my mind how awesome that was to see, because I always have wanted to do that. So getting the chance to was amazing. But so that was for my first night. And I remember telling my friends I was with that I couldn't wait to try duck confit, which is, like, a French delicacy. I'm probably not saying it right. But they have, like, that's, like, it's, like, a, like, the sweetest kind of, like, soft meat of my life. But I was, like, really looking forward to doing that, and then didn't get to that first night. So I was hoping that it would happen eventually. But after having dinner with them, going back to the hotel, we went straight to bed, like, I think at, like, 11 o'clock at night, because we got up super early in the morning, 6 a.m., to get on a train to go to Disney Paris. And that's where I'm going to go to next. So Disneyland Paris, I didn't actually even know about it until I have a friend of mine, Raquel, who told me that she went to it when she was in high school. And said it was amazing and, like, more authentic with the Disney characters, like, from our childhood, like, back in, like, the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, all those Disney movies and whatnot. And so since I was, you know, in France, I wanted to make that happen. So we got on a train that actually took us all the way to the entrance of Disneyland, which I thought was pretty cool, Paris, to do that, just direct train ride there. And we got there, like, right as they were opening, and I don't know, like, for those of you Disney fans out there just like me, it was pretty magical. I'm gonna say that every single time, because I was so excited just to be there and to say that I got to go to Disney Paris. And it actually was very similar to the Disneyland in Los Angeles, for those of you who've been there. Those of you who haven't, I just mean that it had, like, a Main Street, America, and it had the, you know, Princess's Castle. The difference with that is that in L.A., the Princess's Castle is Cinderella's castle, but in Paris, it's Sleeping Beauty's castle. And I thought it was really cool to see the difference. If you are listening, you probably noticed that I'm really, really awesomely crazy about Disney stuff. I, you know, ask me anything about it, and I will have an answer. You know, say a line from a movie, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to be able to pick up on what it is. Just something awesome about Disney everything, and I had a great time there. I want to give a fun fact about Disney Paris. It opened in April of 1992, and it will be celebrating its 25th anniversary in 2017, so next year. So if you have a itch to go to Disneyland Paris, I would recommend going for the 25th anniversary. They actually have discount tickets coming out for that day when they have the anniversary on April 12th, and I think it's a good experience and something that you'll always be able to say you did, you know, get souvenirs and whatnot. I got Minnie Mouse ears. I unfortunately lost them on my way home. When I left Milan, I distinctly remember packing them, but now I can't find them. Kind of upset about that. But anyway, it happens. That brings me back to my other tips before my past shows about packing. I always gotta be careful with that. I'm not a good packer, so I had to have people help me every once in a while with things to pack and not to pack. So I want to help you listeners out there just, you know, pack lightly. And that's a loose word for me. I try to pack lightly. Doesn't always happen. I'm the kind of packer that packs for any kind of situation. So I'll be like, oh, I need that because it might be cold. Or I need these shoes because they're cute. I might want to go out that night. I need, like, flats or, like, some kind of heels. But also my tennis shoes. And as you can see, I can go on and on. But anyway, packing is essential, and I unfortunately lost my Minnie Mouse ears from Paris Disneyland, but it's okay. I have tons of memories from there with my friends and a bunch of pictures, so, you know, good times. And, yeah, so if you're a Disney fan like me, you gotta put that on your bucket list. Make that something you're gonna do when you go to Paris. It's definitely worth it. Anybody that asked me after I went if they should go, I say yes. It was a great time. I spent the entire day there, literally 6 a.m., opened at 7, and I was there till closing at 11 o'clock at night. I'm hardcore about that stuff. When you're paying good money, you spend it on a whole day there. And another fun fact I wanted to quickly talk about, because I'm going to bring that up in my next segment, is the Eiffel Tower. It was built in 1889 for the World's Fair to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the French Republic. It was originally intended to be a temporary installation and was petitioned against by Parisian citizens in 1887. So the 2 years it was being built, every Parisian citizen pretty much anywhere near it was petitioning against it being built because they thought it was really, really ugly. And I guess I could kind of see that when they were first building it, how they would feel that way back then. Now I think it's like one of the most beautiful things there is in France, and how like big it's become, and the fact that it got so popular is like a, you know, national monument for France, says something about back then, like how the World Fair, like having it there and like it being possibly almost temporary. It's just kind of crazy to me. Like, I didn't know that until I actually went to France and I was talking with a friend of mine. I forget who it was now. It might actually be my friend Mariah, but somebody were telling me that it like wasn't supposed to be there for a long amount of time and that the Parisians didn't want anything to do with it. So I found that kind of interesting. And so I'm going to get right back to that after this short break. I'm DJ Amore telling you to get up and go explore, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu.
Can't wake up. See me running around the corner, move me up into the upswing. Call me undone. When I speak about the truth, I'm only brought up to the downbeat. It's not easy there when you feel the wear. Oh, patience brings the chair. Oh, oh, oh. Every day, do you notice that we're never free? Oh, why can't you be happy with me? Every day, we are running round, trapped in our sea. Oh, why can't you be happy with me? Oh,
Hey there, Penguin listeners. You're listening to the Travel Diaries. That was Happy With Me by Holy Child. For those of you listeners who enjoyed that song, I'm DJ Amore, and this is Penguin Radio. Before the break, I was talking about my first trip to Paris, France. Even though it was one of my shorter trips, I had an amazing time, but I knew when I left I had to go back, and I had to make plans for another trip to Paris. Which brings me to my next segment with my friend Mariah. She also studied abroad last semester, and she was in France. Hello, Mariah, and thanks for being on my show, The Travel Diaries.
Hi, Christine.
Hi. So, how you doing?
Oh, fabulous, of course.
Yeah? You excited to be on my show?
So excited.
Me too. Thanks for agreeing. I didn't really give you a choice, did I?
As your roommate, I don't really have a choice. I have to live with you.
Exactly. And you would not stop hearing about it until you said yes.
Pretty much.
Okay, so where did you study abroad last semester exactly? Like, I know I just said in France, but can you, like, tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I studied in Poitiers, France, which is about, it's like a two-hour train ride from Paris. So it's pretty central. It was so cute, really little. It was very much a college town. There were three colleges there. And mine happened to be the international one. So pretty much everyone spoke English.
Oh, no, yeah, my school, too. Like, I took a bunch of classes in English, thank God.
Oh, yeah, there's no way.
I couldn't imagine trying to learn Italian and, like, take classes in Italian, much alone French.
Yeah, pretty much. My lowest grade in that school was French, so that's slightly embarrassing.
Oh, yeah, didn't you have to take French the entire semester?
Yeah.
I got lucky. I only had to do it for 2 weeks.
Lucky dog, yeah.
Well, I don't know, maybe I'm not lucky, because that means I had less time to, you know,
well, if it makes,
learn the language.
If it's any consolation, it really didn't help that much. Like, I can say the base. You know, the most basic, but in the end, it's awful. But, like, most French, you know, you go up to, like, a bakery and they ask, and you ask, like, je voudrais, and then they'll be like, what do you want? You're like, oh, okay. Like, they expect you to speak English, so.
So you attempt to speak French,
right.
And then they don't let you.
Yeah, obviously, because I don't have a French accent, and they're very particular about their accents.
I know, I noticed that when I was there. I remember.
Yes.
I noticed there. And, like, also in Italy, too, like, if you don't try and speak to them
right.
in Italian, like, first off, they'll be, like, weird around you.
Yeah.
So it's, like, even if you attempt it and still can't speak it and you speak English, they'll be nice. But if you don't try the first time, it's, like, they're mean.
Right. Like, my, I have a friend that was studying at SM2, and she was from Canada, so she spoke fluent French all her life.
Oh, God.
And none of them would even, like, talk to her because they couldn't understand her without the French accent. Or they just didn't want to.
Probably the latter.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So then I want to talk about how we got to go to Rome together. And that was one of our first trips we did. We did that for Easter, which I talked about in my, not my last show. Actually, no, yeah, my last show. Talked mm-hmm. about that. So for those of you who want to listen to that, like I said before, check it out on radio.dominican.edu. Yeah, we went to Rome together, and then for our second trip, we went to, well, you came to see me in Milan, mm-hmm. and then I went with you back to Paris.
Right, right.
How was it for you in Milan?
Oh, it was so cool. It was really cool because you knew where everything was, so I just followed you around. You're like, this is that, and, you know, it was just fun to see you.
That was, it was a good time. I remember how before we left, we, like, were at your house one day talking about, like, we're going to go do this, we're going to do that, we're going to go all these different places, and then, like, that didn't happen.
You were so sweet, though, because you came and you helped me pack.
I did.
That was, like, a huge help because I was, like, literally panicking.
Well, let's be honest. Like, I also did it help myself. Like, I wanted to, like, see, like, what you were doing. And then I needed to do it for when I left.
Oh, my God. And I ended up packing, like, 5 times. Way too much. Way too much. The people laughed when they saw my suitcases. I had 2 huge suitcases. And the 2 girls that tried to help me carry 1 suitcase up the 3 flights of stairs were, like, dying. The rest of the year, they were like, oh, so you owe me.
I helped you carry your huge suitcase up the stairs.
For sure.
I had that same issue, kind of. I didn't have 3 flights of stairs. I had, like, these, like, little like 10 stairs.
Like nothing. And then I such a nice place.
And I didn't have to do it. Like, I had two Italian guys help me carry them.
Oh, you lucky dog.
That's funny, though, because, like, you said that you packed too much, and I thought I didn't pack enough, and I had more than you did.
I know. That just shows. Because, I mean, you need room for souvenirs and, like, the cool things you get. Mm-hmm. You brought home so many mugs. Can we just, like...
Oh, God, don't bring it up. I feel like you tell everybody about this.
No, but, like, who brings glass home?
What do you mean, who brings glass home? I love mugs. I collect coffee mugs for those of you listeners out there. Fun fact about myself.
Yeah.
Mariah knows about that, and she has to refrain me sometimes from having too many of them.
No, it's pretty cool, though, because you have, like, literally one from every Starbucks in Europe.
Yeah, that was my goal. There weren't a bunch of Starbucks everywhere, but I have the ones that enough. They did have Starbucks at, yeah. And, I don't know. I just like collecting coffee mugs.
Yeah, I mean, they're useful.
Anyway, so let's move on to Paris. So we got to go to Paris together. I was super excited because I'd already been, obviously, and I'm pretty sure Mariah had been a few times before that, too. Yeah. But I didn't get to see everything, so she was nice enough to go with me again. And I just want to ask you, you know, how many times did you go to Paris while you were in France?
Honestly, I can't remember because in order to get anywhere, you had to go to Paris. So, like, I had to take a 2-hour train to Paris and then to fly out anywhere. So I was there so many times. And we'd usually take the bus, which was great. Megabus was our – if you're ever wondering how to get around – like without spending too much money, Megabus is the way to go. We literally, it's 5 hours, even though we could take a 2-hour train ride, but it's just so expensive for a train ride. It was like either spend like $45 to $60 on a train or spend $10 on a bus. So we just, you know, leave at like 3 a.m. and get there at 7, but we just sleep the whole time. It was great.
Oh my gosh, no.
Oh yeah, it's an adventure.
No, I do remember getting up really early in the morning to catch my flights and stuff, so that's definitely a must.
Oh, for sure. It's worth it.
So I'm going to take a quick break period pretty soon, but before I do, I wanted to ask you, what was your most memorable experience from your time in Paris? And I don't mean just, like, Paris, like, when you had to go travel through. I mean, like, you were actually in Paris, like, to go around Paris.
Yeah. Honestly, the first time I got there, my friend Kat, we were, like, walking from the bus station or from the train station, and we were walking to our hostel, and she saw it, like, in the distance, like through all these buildings, and she literally started to cry. And I was like, what are you looking at? Why are you crying? She's like, look. And I was like, oh my god, like, it's literally breathtaking. You just can't. So that was like the moment where I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in Paris.
Wait, the hostel was breathtaking?
No, I'm we confused. Saw the Eiffel Tower. Okay. I'm sorry. A little too conversational here.
Really nice hostel. It made you cry.
A really nice hostel. No, like the Eiffel Tower, like through the buildings. And we just saw the tip of it. And then you're just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's like you really, it just sets in. It's amazing.
I totally understand that. I was so excited to see the Eiffel Tower. Yeah. Like I knew once I saw it, it'd be like a life-changing moment for me.
It totally was. Mm-hmm. It was, and I actually didn't expect it to be honest. I was, like, playing it down.
Well, I guess I expected it.
No, like, in my head, I was like, no, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a deal. And then I saw it, and I was like, oh, my goodness.
Like, everything you thought just coming true.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
I'm going to play some travel tunes for you now, and we'll be right back. I'm DJ Amore telling you to get up and go explore, and you're listening to Penguin Radio.
Girl, you know that I'll do anything to know a little more than just your name. Only thing I know is you're too fine, and I would like to live with you tonight. Girl, you know that I'll What's your name, mamacita, my sweet señorita? So hot that you're giving me the fever. So sexy, muy bonita, you make an unbeliever. Trust me, girl, you and me, and it's what it's gotta be. I give you everything you need, make you weak in your knees. You're the baddest one I ever seen. Tell me how you fit that in them jeans. Oye, me así, así, baby, I can finally see.
Girl, you're so perfect to me. You remember, this not a pleasure. I need you to come now.
Girl, you know that I'll do. Me one tell you straight, let me explain. Keep it 100, correct on the way. Come to your door and I'll open up me tray. Just got me fly and I'll lay a plane.
You gon' call me papi, I'll make your body happy. Every time that you call me, you know that I'll take care of you. You gon' call me papi, I'll make your body happy. Every time that you call me.
And we're back on Penguin Radio. You're listening to the Travel Diaries. That was With You Tonight by Nicky Jam. For those of you who love that song, look it up later. I'm DJ Morey, and before the music break, I was talking about my trips to Paris, France. And I have the lovely Mariah here with me to help me reminisce on those times. So when we were arriving in Paris together, we got off the train station and we were trying to find our Airbnb, which was the first for me. I'd never done Airbnb in Europe before. And Mariah was
the
like
a way to go.
Yeah, she was
sure.
Like a genius at it. So we were like, oh, no big deal. It'll be fine. No, we walked in like circles for forever trying
it's
to find our Airbnb.
The story of my life in like traveling in general, but like France especially, because all the buildings are so high that the GPS doesn't like register. So it'll take you in circles. And literally, we went in circles.
We did, literally.
We were so irritated. We were like, I just want to go home.
Yeah, we had to like stop and like just collect ourselves.
Yeah.
And then once we actually found it, we realized that if we had just gone right after getting on the train station, it was right there.
Literally.
Like two blocks away.
Yeah, it was quite embarrassing.
A little bit. You know, we geographically were challenged sometimes.
Me especially.
Yes, you especially. But I had some trouble too in Europe. Okay.
For sure.
And for those of you just tuning in, Mariah also had the opportunity to study abroad last semester in France while I was in Italy. And we just kind of took the opportunity to go to Paris together because she's pretty close to Paris and I wanted to go again after going my first time. But so after we got to the hostel, I think just walked around, right? We just got mm-hmm. lunch. We're starving.
Right.
And then walked around a little bit. And I believe we went to get coffee.
Oh, yeah. With my friend from here, her daughter lives in the middle of Paris and with her French husband.
Oh, my God. Me and them, I was like, I'm so,
so
jealous.
Right? It's this gorgeous apartment, apparently. And so we met up at her favorite little coffee shop and we talked, which was great. And then they recommended this cute little, like,
restaurant.
Yeah.
Authentic French restaurant for dinner.
So good.
They told us a lot of stuff. They were like, go here, go there.
Yeah.
you know, we were talking about going somewhere else for dinner, and she was like, no, don't go there. Go to the college district. Right. You'll have more fun there.
Yeah, and it's funny because I've known her for such a long time, and she's always, I don't know, it's just like small town. I'm from a small town, so like I always thought of her that way, but she speaks perfect French. She went and studied abroad for a year and came back. She speaks perfect French and then came back with a husband. So,
oh, God.
Yeah, life goals.
So if we had just stayed for another semester, we'd be like set for
life. I know, right?
I'm not as confident in that, though.
I don't know. No,
I'm not down with the whole learning a language.
And she studied in the south of France, which is a little bit different than the north of France.
How?
People are nicer. And
a little more like understanding about how she couldn't speak perfect French.
Yeah, exactly.
Helped out a little bit.
Not so much tood.
Makes sense. But yeah, that was nice. I liked doing that. Like, just, you know, doing something you wanted to do as well, not just monopolizing the entire trip.
Oh, yeah. I definitely, I was like, so this is what we're doing.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, I'm cool with it. Yeah. Yeah, after that, we took their advice, and we actually really, I really wanted to go back to the Luxembourg Gardens. For those of you who don't know, it's just like a really famous, like, beautiful, huge garden in Paris.
Yeah,
like,
it's gorgeous.
Almost right in the middle. Yeah, and you can see
every time you go, it's like literally breathtaking. You're like, is this real life?
Yeah, there's like this giant like castle looking building.
Well, it's like there's this huge like gold gate that's wrapped around it, and so when you, before you even get there, you're like, where am I? And then you go into it, and it's just meticulously like kept, and the trees are cut square on the top, like it's just gorgeous.
The water fountain like in the middle, oh my god. Oh, yeah. That killed
we
me.
Totally had a photo op there, and we're just like,
we did snap.
We got some good photos, good profile pics.
We took some great photos.
Oh yeah, it was so worth it too.
Uh-huh. And so then we were in the Luxembourg Garden, and we were looking for this chocolate shop. What was it again? It was Angelina's chocolate shop.
Angelina's. Anyways, if you go to France, you have to. It's just like you'll know the name. You just have to. There's several like spread out in Paris, and it's amazing. They have their like delicacy hot chocolate, which is just pretty much chocolate melted a little bit, and then you're drinking like this thick sweet chocolate.
Yeah, I remember. I mean, you can Google it and it'll come up because it is really famous. But of course, I didn't know what it was.
It was
Mariah
so good.
Mariah had to tell me. But yeah,
it
was really
good. You
can't
live in France and not know about it.
Yeah, and they had the best macaroons. Like, oh my God. They were so good. I'm all about, I'm a huge foodie, which I'm sure you guys, if you have been listening to my shows, have figured that out by now. And macaroons and creme brulee were like the two things I was like eating every day when I was in Paris. It was, no, never mind.
Well, talking about food, then we went to the restaurant
after the Luxembourg Gardens. You went to the restaurant. Oh, that was actually close, too. Like, we didn't get lost that time.
No, we were so
like,
good.
I don't know, like, two blocks.
And you knew you were there because you saw, like, all of young these people. Young, cute, attractive French people.
Cute, attractive French people.
Yeah, so it was in this really cute area, and there were all these cute little restaurants, and, like, the one we picked out happened to be the one that they had recommended. We didn't even remember the name, and then when we got there, we were like, "Oh, that's one that reminded us."
Yeah.
And it smells so good. You couldn't walk past it without smelling.
Delicious, and it looks so authentically French.
Yeah,
which
and
is
it
what
was so little, and like they had like only a few seats, so we had to wait like 20 minutes. But we were like, "It's worth it. It's okay."
Yeah, for a tip for you guys, my world travelers out there listening, if you want to ever go to this restaurant, it is called Le Jardin de Artemis. I'm not saying that right at all. I don't have a French accent.
I don't know where it is.
Maybe Mariah can help me out.
Where is it? Le Jardin d'Artemis.
Really?
Yeah. Something like
that. I read it like D'Artemis. I don't know. Don't ask me. I'm not good with French.
Anyway, so we went there. I think I got the chicken. I don't know. Anyways.
You did.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
I mean, of course I tried some. I mean.
It was like... I've like dream about it. There's nothing like it, seriously.
Yeah, and I had duck confit, finally. Yes. I actually didn't get to have it when I was on my first Paris trip, so I made it happen the second time around.
And of course I ate that too, and it was so good.
I didn't think it was going to be because it's duck, like I don't want to eat duck, obviously, but it was delicious. It was so soft and like moist. And
yeah, it like melted in your mouth. But what really surprised me was Miss Christine, who can be rather picky about her food, wanted to eat escargot, which as you all know is snails. So we got a big plate. I think there were seven
or six
six. Mm-hmm. You would know.
I would know because
escargot.
I would know because you told me you were gonna have one, and I'll leave the other five to me. And I was like, no.
But believe it or not, it came out and it was delicious.
The, I know.
It was weird getting it out of the shell. Like that was the creepy part.
With the little fork. Like the little clamp and then a little fork to like dig it out.
And then it was really chewy, but it was buttery and like
garlic.
So good. I think it's just the way they made it. I don't know if it would be good anywhere else, but it was amazing.
I agree. I don't think if we had gone anywhere else. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe because it was in Paris, like maybe anywhere else would have done the same thing. But if we made it here, it would not be anything like that.
No, not at all. It was just perfectly cooked and like seasoned.
I mostly just wanted to say that I did it. I was honestly surprised in myself because I'm not the kind of person just to try random things.
No. But I've I was the one that usually is like, do it, do it. And then I was like,
you were
no,
like, I don't want it. I made you eat those. Three.
So yeah, you have to have a friend to push you out of your comfort zone because that's like the essence of studying abroad, traveling. It's really you grow as a person. Like you can't even compare.
Yeah, I've definitely changed since I've been abroad, which I've noticed, and I love it
in good ways. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I don't know.
You just get to know yourself.
If it's a bad way, you haven't told me.
I'll let you know.
Another thing, I had creme brulee there. I'm sorry, guys.
Every place we stopped, she was like, do you have creme brulee? We can't stay here if they don't have creme
brulee. I did say that. This place had creme brulee, and that's why we stayed, because they had it.
Oh, and it's so worth it. Of course, anything, any pastries, any desserts from France is amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, jaw-dropping. Oh, and I'm allergic to wheat, but in France, for some reason, I could eat as much bread as I wanted. There was no issues. Like, my stomach wasn't upset at all. So, like, needless to say, I had a baguette a day and ate so many croissants.
That was so surprising to me because I know that you were gluten-free and you're telling me, yeah, I'm getting all kinds of bread. And
that's,
I was like,
what? Whole nother segment you should talk about. It's just, like, how much better their food is for you.
Oh, I totally have. So, I've talked about it. I mentioned the Kraft macaroni and cheese thing in one of my last shows, how that's illegal in Italy. So I've definitely been there.
No, yeah. It's really frustrating to me because as a someone who's actually allergic to it, who can eat it there, it just makes me mad.
Oh, yeah.
That we can't hear.
Well, talking about croissants, like you said.
Croissants.
I can't say it, guys. She always corrects me. I just say croissant. It's just a croissant.
Yeah. You sound very American if you say it there. People, like, literally stared at me so bad there.
Yeah, but you say it a lot nicer than me. Talking about that, though, the next morning after our dinner, we had another day in Paris, and I was adamant about following this guideline for this book that I read called Me Before You. I love that book to death. It's so good. I recommend anybody listening, read that book. It'll have you tear crying, but in good ways. And
if you're a girl, read it, pretty much.
Hey, guys can read it, too. Guys can read it, too. It's romance, you know.
Okay.
Might make you have little feels.
But it's a chick flick book.
Anyway, stop it. You're discouraging them from reading it.
It's good. It's so cute.
Anyway, one of the characters talked about when he got to go to France, he went to this place in the Le Maurice district. I'm probably saying that wrong too, but I'm going to stick with it. Ooh, my bad.
It's quite loud.
Yeah, it is. I don't know why that happened. Anyway, It's a small, not small, it's pretty big actually, the Le Maurice district. And we found a little cafe that I was like, also passed like a good few of them, like at least five. I was like, this is not the right one. I need to be outside at a table in like the streets of Le Maurice.
So that I can see people walking by.
Yeah, so I can be like the character in the book.
Yeah.
And we got a croissant.
Croissant. Yes.
Croissant.
And coffee and café au lait.
Yeah, we had
café du lait.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that tipped it off and made it exactly like the book is we got the croissant. Sorry, I'm gonna keep saying it wrong.
That's okay, you're fine.
With unsalted butter and strawberry jam. I thought that was so weird at first.
No.
Like reading it in the book, I had never thought of doing that before.
Oh my gosh, it's
and,
life.
And you know, I was like, okay, it's in the book, I have to do it. So we go to this place, they have it, I eat it. I have dreams about it still. It was so delicious. The bread was just so soft and the butter and the jam and oh my God.
I literally gained 20 pounds. Literally, no joke.
I wish I could go back and eat that again because oh man. I tried like recreating it when I came home. It did not happen.
And their coffee, there's something about their coffee that's just so much better. If you're like me, It's just so much better. They make it better. I don't know what's happening, but.
Well, in my opinion, I'm probably being a little biased, but Italian coffee was way better than French coffee. Oh, of course.
No, that's so true.
I put that out there. I miss Italian coffee so much.
It's better than French coffee, too.
Yeah, I'd go in there and be like, in my little cafes in Italy, and be like, Cafe Macchiato Porta la Via, and got it to go every single time, and it was great.
Oh, my gosh.
Missed that so much.
Yeah.
Another thing, though, after we got our breakfast and had that little moment, I kept looking for more things to do that were in the book. And we got to go. This was actually a little frustrating because we couldn't find it for the longest time. Again, we're spatially challenged with, like, our geography and whatnot.
Ironically, though, the 2 weeks before, my dad had came to visit me.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
And we had actually gotten an Airbnb in this little area.
Literally so
right in front of it.
And you had no idea.
And then we got there and I was like, oh, hey, that's right where my dad's Airbnb was.
Yeah, stayed here in this little square.
Oh, my gosh, guys. Airbnbs are such the way to go. Mm-hmm. Don't even, like, worry about it. Because if you're in a group, it saves you so much money. And we got the nicest place that overlooked the, what was it? Well, the river right there.
Oh. What's it called? No. Oh, man. I'm going to forget now. It was really popular. Like, one of, like, the biggest. Oh, Point Neuf. Or Point Neuf? Point Neuf. Like, the canal. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, the Louvre was on that canal.
Yeah,
and,
you could see the Louvre.
Notre Dame was on that canal.
Yeah, and you could see the carousel by the Louvre.
Yeah, because where that Airbnb was on the other side where the street was.
Oh, it was so cute.
Guys,
and
I
they
was so
had,
jealous.
Oh, my gosh. And the coolest part was that it was all windows. Like, the upstairs was all windows from, you know, both sides of the room. And there was this hammock that was right in front of it.
Oh, so I guess you were chilling in there the whole time.
Of course. It was so cute. I loved it.
Yeah. But anyway, so we didn't realize that she had been staying there the week before. 2 weeks before she had gone to Paris. Mind you, Mariah is a great friend because she went back to Paris with me even though she had just been there like 2 weeks before that.
But you can never go to Paris too much. There's
That's
so
true.
Much more.
I
so
went
much
twice.
To
I didn't think I was going to do
twice.
That. Like, I fell in love.
Yeah, like, I could go like 5,000 times.
I know,
times.
Okay, but you were in France.
Right, but still, you can never see too much of it.
That's true. So anyway, the square she was staying in was called the Place Dauphine, and it was actually in the book that I was reading, Me Before You. So I was determined to find it. And then once we did, I was super excited. And it's so beautiful. Like, you have to go there when you go visit Paris. It's a bunch of beautiful trees and cafes, like, in a little triangle thing. The metro's, like, right there. You can just go anywhere you need once you're done. There's benches, and you can just sit and relax. And in my opinion, it was one of the most relaxing places I'd ever been to in Europe. I had a great time there.
It was so cute. And you kind of, like, to get the idea of it, it's like there's buildings that kind of surround it. So it's open on one side, like a triangle. And then the other two sides are these tall buildings, which is one of the Airbnbs that I stayed in was up there. And then you just have this little slit that you can see the river between the two buildings. It's so pretty. And, of course, because it's Paris, they keep it meticulous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just having, like, a moment when I was there. Like, this is in the book.
We
and
just
I have
sat.
To, like, pretend like I'm in the book and, like, I've been there with them. And it's just great. It's
so cute. We just sat there for, like, 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm, we did. It was for a while. Watched all the Parisians go about their morning. So I also want to move on to the Eiffel Tower. We obviously had already seen it from our trips before, but I actually didn't get the chance to climb it until, I don't think you did either, did you?
No, not
That was both
before.
Our first time doing that. I was also
first
adamant
and
about
last.
That. Oh my God, yeah.
So many stairs.
I think I counted. We did at least like 700 steps to the middle. It wasn't even all the way to the top.
And I was dying. We were both like,
yeah, we had Snapchats of the whole entire experience. You just hear us heavily breathing in the background.
Still going.
Yeah, I'm like, we're almost there, guys. We're going to make it.
No, it was so hard.
But I always wanted to just take every solitary step to the top. Totally. And I was kind of actually bummed that I couldn't climb all the way to the top. Because once you got to like the middle section, you had to take an elevator.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let you climb the stairs. I don't remember why. I think they got more narrow and it was like not safe for so many people,
like,
who wanted to go up to the top.
Right. And so, like, to just give you guys an idea, when you climb all those stairs, you get to like pretty much the middle, and then there's like cafe and like a restaurant at the top, which you have to take an elevator to. So I had to stay at the bottom because I didn't want to spend like $20 for an elevator ride up to the top. But Christine did.
I did it.
Yeah, no worries.
Hey, I mean, in my opinion, I was like, I had the money. No,
totally, yeah.
I had literally just that much money left in cash. I think
it was like 20 euros, yeah.
It was expensive. I was like, what the heck? I already paid to get on the first time.
I know, we were so mad. Like, what?
But I was like, when am I going to get to do this again?
No, and we went on the perfect time. It was sunset.
We saw it during the day and the sun was going down.
And then we were in the Eiffel Tower when the lights went on, and so when it gets dark the lights come on and it, like, you know, flickers. It's so cute.
Yeah, and then we actually were there so long, we waited another hour and then went back down and watched it from the outside. Like, watch the light show again.
It was so cute
because that was our last night there. Before I go to my next music break, I wanted to ask you, Mariah, if you had one piece of advice you could give to my listeners, you know, about what they should do if they're interested in going to Europe when they get to France.
Honestly, I think you just need to try everything and stop thinking so much. When you're, you know, abroad, you just have to do it. You just have to experience it. Don't overthink it. Just make it happen, you know.
That's good advice. Thank you. So I'm going to take a short pause and get back to you with my next segment on transportation around Paris. I'm DJ More, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Also, at 6 p.m. after my show, check out Kawi Corner with DJ Sadaharu. You're back with DJ Mori on Penguin Radio. If you're just tuning in, I was talking about my trips to Paris, France. And the last song that was played is called Till the End by Jessie Ware, and it's on the album For Me Before You, so I wanted to just throw that in there because I was talking about that before. On my show today, I have Mariah with me, and we are going to end my show today with information on transportation methods in France. Mariah had a firsthand experience with this while abroad in France last semester. And I just want to ask you a little bit about public transport for you in France. How'd that go?
As you know, I'd never taken a train before I studied abroad. So it was quite a change. It was very different. And the Italian, after going to Italy, their system is so much easier.
Thank you. I agree.
Oh, my gosh. So much easier because you have English. And, mm-hmm. of course, in France, everything's in French and no one is helpful.
Well, the other thing too is that when I was in Paris, the like map to like figure out mm-hmm. which lines
so
to get on,
so confusing.
They were confusing not because of the names in French, but because of the colors. Like the color coordination was so weird. Like they had two purples and two kinds of greens that looked so similar.
Oh, exactly.
I got lost,
and there's like 5,000 of them.
Yeah, there's way more than in Milan.
Right.
Like ridiculously amounts more.
There's so much. I mean, it's really helpful to use that. But
sorry guys, there's a spider in the studio.
We're both, like a kind
there's
of
a
scared.
Spider in the studio
it's,
right
it's
now.
It's migrated.
Let's
closer.
Just ignore it for a little while.
Anyways, but yeah, it's very helpful, but it's very, very confusing. So I definitely needed help. I went to my Canadian friend who spoke French all the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, just help me help. But other than that, it was great. And I used Megabus all the time because I'm poor and we're college students.
Yeah, Megabus is a really good way to transport
totally.
Anywhere because like it's
I
like
totally
you can do a whole
it.
Like 6-hour bus ride from Rome to Milan for like €6.
I went to Amsterdam all on the bus.
It oh my god, like, I forgot.
Yeah, it
from
was like
Poitiers,
I think it,
from
yeah
no,
Poitiers
from Paris.
Right, I think I took the train to Poitiers and then. Oh my god, where did this spider go? Anyways, I took a train to Poitiers and then to Paris. And then from Paris, I went to Amsterdam all on the bus. I think it was like an 11-hour bus ride.
Oh, wow.
I know it was awful. But the thing is we just slept the whole time. And then we got out, you know, they take breaks. So it wasn't that bad, but it was literally like €20. And it would have been like €100 or something flight. So it was totally worth it.
I mean, for Paris, though, I think what I noticed, too, about transportation is, like, you can literally walk everywhere in Paris.
Oh, yeah.
I walked from the Louvre all the way to Notre Dame one time, and it took, like, 40 minutes, but it was still, like, easy.
Yeah, and, like, I noticed in Milan it was a lot more spread out, mm-hmm. which I didn't know that it was like that. And,
yeah,
we took the metro all the time. And
yeah, it was just easier. Like, the metro was, like, easier to take than walking – like, if you had to go 45 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
and then, like, in Paris, I feel like you can take the metro, but walking's fine, too. It's not that far.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing people should know about Paris is, like, all the strikes they have, right?
Oh, my gosh. So many airstrikes, taxi strikes,
bus strikes.
Let me get
you started on the strikes.
Every single day. I am telling you, it is crazy. Christine obviously went through like her problem with the airstrikes getting back home from Spain, and I happened to be in Barcelona during that time, and I couldn't get home as well. So my flight had gotten canceled, obviously, and in order to get home, I had to fly from Barcelona to Madrid. And I was going to fly to Brussels, which happened to be the Brussels attack that same day.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But they somehow. We changed our flight so that we went to Germany, and then from Germany we flew into France,
which is like so out of the way, like kind
of
weird
so
how that happened.
Yeah, it just happened. Like that's the only way I could get into France, and mm-hmm. I had class the next day. We all woke up like we literally got maybe an hour of sleep, and we were like dead. And our classes are 9 to 5, so we were just dying.
I would have not gone.
No, you have to.
You have to.
Yeah, that's like literally in order to pass, you have to go to all your classes.
That's true. I had the same predicament when I was in Milan, but I worked the system a little bit. I think I missed like one or two classes for each one, and I spaced out like purposefully. Like I just didn't do it when I felt like it. I was like, if I feel like going to class, I'd be like, you have to.
I don't
this
recommend
this.
This
is not the time. This is not the time to skip class.
Honestly, like my schedule, though, was so lax that it was like, you had to go, you know, like there were only 5 classes per class. So you had to go to each session.
Well, that sounds like pretty horrible stuff. Not really. We got the opportunity to go abroad.
It was such an adventure. Yeah. I totally recommend it to anyone. Even when it's bad, when you have good friends, like it's amazing. The airstrike was the most stressful thing I've ever been through. But it was made me so much closer to my friends. Like, we still, you know.
Talk about it.
We talk about it.
Same.
You know, and it just makes you a stronger person. You realize what happens when you're in these stressful situations, what you do. It's just such a good experience. I totally suggest it.
I agree. Well, thank you, Mariah, for coming on my show today. I really appreciate it and reminiscing our times together abroad.
Good times.
To hear more of my travel diaries, tune in at 5 p.m. every Wednesday. Next week, we'll be traveling to the city of Amsterdam. This has been DJ Amore on Penguin Radio. Arrivederci. Take